Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. On today's show, we're talking about a naturopathic approach to skin health. And my guest is Dr. Pamela Langendorfer. Dr. Pamela Langendorfer and I attended naturopathic medical school together at the National University of Natural Medicine. She's a licensed acupuncturist and naturopathic physician. Dr. Pamela is passionate about empowering patients to lead a healthy life and find the root cause of their health concerns. She realizes that the body is one integrated system, not a collection of independent organs divided up by medical specialties. So she treats the whole system, not just the symptoms, and she strongly believes optimal health is best achieved in partnership with her patients. In today's podcast, we discuss root causes of skin issues. Dr. Pamela shares her own experience with overcoming eczema with a naturopathic approach and how she helps her patients with eczema and other skin issues. We discuss specific laboratory tests and approaches to unveil and address the root cause. As you watch this interview, you may wonder what your root causes for skin issues are and how to address them. So I want to remind you that you can go to theskinquiz.com and take my free skin quiz to find out your skin type, which corresponds to your unique combination of root causes, and you'll receive customized recommendations for you. Just go to theskinquiz.com. So I hope you enjoy this interview today with Dr. Pamela. Pamela, it's great to have you on my show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So you and I went to naturopathic medical school together many years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's great to hear that you're doing well in practice. You've got two clinics running, and that's fantastic. So what we're talking about today, what we want to talk about is eczema and skin issues and how certain factors like nutrition and hormones play a role in our skin. And I know that as a naturopathic physician, you share a similar philosophy as I do of we need to get to the root cause of what's going on with skin problems. And part of that, we're going to talk about various things with that, but part of it's nutrition, right? Nutrition plays a big role. Despite what some conventional dermatologists say, what we find as naturopathic physicians is that nutrition's really important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think nutrition plays a huge role, and that's essentially what can happen when people are first diagnosed with eczema. They are given steroids, and then they're given medications to suppress it. And I think, you know, part of my story and my personal journey with this is just my own experience with eczema. And I don't even know if you remember when I was in school, but I think when I was in school, it was like the worst it has ever been in my whole entire life, like literally covered head to toe for 6 years, and just how that emotional devastation really had impacted me and impacted everything. And when I look back at that period of time, you know, when I remember, I mean, because we started naturopathic school back in 1996. And so back then, people, we didn't really have an understanding yet about like gluten or even grains or what those things could do to skin and autoimmune issues. But everybody had understood that wheat had an impact. And I remember when I started school and one of the doctors telling me I had to give up wheat and dairy, and, you know, and like a lot of people, I had that skeptical look like, are you kidding me? That sounds crazy. But when I had stopped eating wheat, I had definitely saw some things improve, because I always used to have chapped lips all the time, cuts all over my lips constantly for years and years. And I had seen that improve. But then you start to take into effect that now we're in school and we have all this stress. We're living in Portland, Oregon, where there's tons of mold. And at that period of time, too, I actually would have started to consume soy. And unbeknown to myself, I actually have a severe sensitivity to soy. And so that was just sort of like adding to the whole entire thing. And so I think that, you know, when I look at this big picture, when you're dealing with autoimmunity, diet is so important. And of course, there are other factors that play a role. But if you don't address the nutrition part, you're just going to be continuing trying to cover something up that isn't really being fixed.
Right. And it's great that you had that knowledge that when you went to naturopathic medical school of learning about wheat and, and certainly gluten and all of those things. But having the stress then on top of that was just another factor that you had to address. And so, I think a lot of times people ask me with a skin problem, if I give up gluten, will my eczema go away or will my skin issues go away? It's like, well, it might, and it might get a little bit better. I mean, it's so hard to know because there's different factors that play a role with different people. And we do certainly see a lot of how these trigger foods are common amongst people with certain skin issues like eczema. But it's not across the board and it's not one thing. And so it's important to realize that there are multi-factors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's when you're dealing with any type of chronic disease. What I do is I pull out a diagram for people now and I say, okay, look, what we're trying to figure out is what your trigger is. And oftentimes it's not one, it's a multitude of them. And so some of the big areas that I look at are diet, which, I always tell people sometimes diet will fix like 50% of what's going on. But when it doesn't, you have to address the stress because we know that high cortisol causes damage to the gut and increases gut permeability or can increase leaky gut. And when you're looking at eczema, because it is classified as autoimmune, we're trying to figure out all these autoimmune triggers. The other thing would be medications. And, I can't tell you how many times when I had that desperation where my skin was so bad and so inflamed, and I would just break down and put a little steroid cream on it, and then it would show up somewhere else. It would travel down my leg, or, it was like it wanted to come out. And so the more I tried to suppress it, the worse it would be, and it would almost come back with a vengeance. The other thing that I think that's really important are gut infections. And quite honestly, I didn't really realize how big of an issue that was until I started testing it on people. And so what we look for are different things like parasites, bacteria, yeast, these types of things. And it's actually very common. And this might be why, where somebody tries to go in and start to heal their gut, but if they've never identified what infection they might have going on, they're not going to really see improvements because they still have this chronic thing that the body is trying to fight off. So it's really important to just do the testing to identify what the triggers are. And, oftentimes when people come in and we're doing some of these more functional medicine-based lab tests, they're paying out of pocket for them. And I've told people, I've kind of gotten to this point where you have to test because it gives you a roadmap as to what may be your triggers. And another important component of eczema can actually be your hormones. And that definitely impacts mine as well, where when my hormones aren't in balance, it's kind of that other trigger that adds to it all.
Yeah, so hormones really do play a role in our skin. So let's talk about that. How have you found hormones to be playing a particularly important role in skin, in particular eczema?
Well, one of the things that I see is that people's hormones can change and fluctuate throughout the month, which of course we know is normal and it's supposed to happen. But a lot of women have this issue with estrogen dominance and having too much estrogen, low progesterone. And the other thing is that as we've learned more about genetics, a lot of people have some genetic issues where they maybe don't metabolize estrogen correctly. And so if you're not able to metabolize estrogen correctly and you can't break that down and get that out of your system, it's going to trigger more of this hormonal imbalance happening. And that's where we can see sometimes just skin getting worse, maybe around ovulation, sometimes maybe right before somebody's period. And that's because we're seeing maybe those fluctuations becoming too extreme for that person. And so one of the biggest things I would say that had helped my skin when it was so severe was actually Chinese herbs and Chinese medicine. That's really the thing that turned it around. And the irony of it is that the formula that helped the most is one that's actually a hormonal formula. So that was really what had made the biggest difference for me.
And so what difference did you notice, and what's, yeah, tell us more about that, what you noticed.
So the biggest difference that I had saw was my skin becoming more softer. So when you have eczema, of course, it's extremely dry. You can have a lot of weeping skin. The itchiness, the heat is just so intense. And one of the biggest things I noticed was that the formula that I used actually contained an herb called Dongui. And Dongui, as we know, is a female herb, but it also can be beneficial for your skin. And in Chinese terms, that it's in this blood tonic category. And so basically, I think of it as bringing more nourishment to the whole area, but especially to the skin. So after taking the herbs, it was actually fairly quickly within days where I noticed that it wasn't as hot, it wasn't as red, and then it became much softer.
Right. And yes, from a Chinese medicine perspective, it's going to be slightly a different process of what people, a practitioner is thinking about. But yeah, there's definitely different purposes with that herb. Have you had tell us about success that you've had with your patients since learning from your own journey. I imagine you've been able to help a lot of your patients with eczema.
Yeah, that's where you think everything always happens for a reason, right? So now I have to be like all my patients and be on strict diets and take supplements and have figured all these different triggers that I have out. So I feel like it's definitely a learning experience for me, and it always continues to be. But that's probably some of the biggest things that I can say to my patients is that when they come in and they have something going on, I encourage them to do some testing so we can figure out what the triggers are. And the one thing I always emphasize is that if people don't see results from natural medicine, it's not that it doesn't work, it's that we haven't figured out your underlying cause yet. And to not give up on that, because figuring out the underlying cause, is something that's really important and is going to be helpful just in your overall future health. So the biggest thing I would say that I see with patients, though, is that when we start to figure some of these things out and we're making diet changes, whether I'm treating eczema or if I'm treating Hashimoto's disease, the skin is kind of that, immediate information, so to say, where you can see if things are. How are things doing? And if I put them on a diet and we're seeing their skin get worse, whether it be more acne or more rashes, then I would say, okay, wait, that's not the right diet for you. We need to step back and figure out what might have made that worse.
Right. Okay. And let's talk about the tests that you would typically do. Tell everybody what are those tests?
So some of the tests that I found the most useful, hormone testing, of course. So doing hormone testing, so we have a complete picture of the person's hormones, how they're metabolizing their estrogens, what they're doing with their cortisol, stool testing, so we can identify those infections. And as I mentioned, that is, I mean, a huge, huge thing, to be able to figure that out. And I feel like, for me, one of the things, we would be told in school sometimes is that, if somebody had something, sometimes I feel like it'd be in this category of like, oh, it's candida. And I'm like, okay, is it really candida? Because everyone just get put in this category. Or, oh, it's parasites. Is it really parasites? Well, if you do the testing, then you can actually see like, oh my gosh, it really is those things. And then the other testing I found really useful is the organic acid testing, where we get a snapshot of that person, what nutrient deficiencies they have, how their liver's detoxifying. And those tests, I originally ran them myself, probably it's been almost 10 years ago. And it really was life-changing when I did that, because I could see that, oh my gosh, I don't detox very well. And now that I've done all the other genetic testing and have really dived into that, I can see that genetically I'm set up to not detox well. So that's why when people come back in, they get put on supplements, and sometimes they're frustrated with that because they think, gosh, do I have to do these forever? I tell them, I don't know. If I don't know your genetics, I don't really know. And I just t share with them my personal story that if I go off of my supplements that help with detoxification for too long, my symptoms start to come back. And the reason they come back is because I'm genetically not set up to do that very well. So this is where I think in this area of personalized medicine, as we see what's happening, where we can start looking at people's genetics and see if those genes are turned on and off. That's what's really going to be helpful. That's where you're going to see the big changes happen, because unfortunately, this isn't cookbook medicine. There's not going to be one thing that works for everybody. And if we can personalize it to each person, then they're going to see much better results.
Yeah, absolutely. So, with people with eczema, it's not l like you see a naturopathic doctor. If you have eczema and they're going to give you one treatment like steroids, it's not one typical thing. I mean, there are certainly certain things that we tend to reach for, and will, topicals as well as dietary recommendations and supplements, but it's very individualized. And that's why sometimes it's hard to, when people ask me, so what do you do for eczema? It's like, okay, well, it depends. So, yeah. And so, like, that's what you're saying. So, I want to back up a minute and talk a little bit more about some of these tests that you mentioned, because I know that people will have questions about these. And of course, working with a naturopathic physician or functional medicine doctor in your area is going to be the best thing to do to help you really figure out the best test for your situation, right? So, if you're listening, watching, it's important to realize that. But just to help you give you some information about what you might want to ask your doctor for, here are some of the things that we're talking about. So the first thing you mentioned was hormone testing. Now, are you talking about like a 24-hour urine hormone panel, something along those lines? Is that what you typically recommend?
No, I'm not doing the 24-hour urine panel. I had switched, if people have heard of the new, well, I guess it's not new, it's been out for a few years, but the Dutch test, because that is actually your urine, it's a urine test, but you're urinating on strips at different times throughout the day. So you can still see that rhythm of cortisol. But that really was a big game changer for me, being able to view people's cortisol levels from basically three different angles. So that for me has been giving me a lot more information. And then also you can see those estrogen metabolites. So if you're converting down something called a 4-OH pathway, and you're converting too much estrogen down that pathway, that's actually not very good. And people tend to not methylate very well, which ultimately means you don't detox very well. And this is where some of these genetic things come into play, because some people have genetic issues that set them up to just not break down estrogen or catecholamines very well. So they maybe have, let's just say, you look at like our drinking water, there's estrogen in our drinking water. And if you're not filtering your water, or if you're drinking out of plastic water bottles, we have estrogen everywhere. And if you're genetically not set up to get rid of that very efficiently, you're going to have more hormonal issues than somebody else.
Right, and the estrogens are coming from the environment, from different chemicals, as well as from medications and things in the water, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that end up that don't get filtered out. So yeah, it is important to filter water. And I asked you about that with the which type of test you use, because I think a lot of people will look at blood tests for hormones, as well as salivary saliva testing saliva for hormones, but you don't get the metabolites that you're talking about unless you do urine. That's the only way to find out those metabolites.
Yeah, the urine testing. And I did used to do saliva testing in the past. And I would say that's where there would be some frustration, where you get the results and then you're going over them with the patient, and then you see, oh, you're dominant and you're low progesterone. And then you would think very simplistically, like, let's just give that person progesterone. And I can't tell you how many times that did not work. It was not the magic cure-all, and it was because we were missing some of the other parts of the picture there.
Yeah, so it's not just a matter of estrogen being high and then you just need more progesterone to balance it out. It could be that you're not metabolizing your hormones properly, so that's what's creating the imbalance. So yeah, and I think a lot of practitioners that do bioidentical hormones will just, automatically just start adding more of whatever seems to be missing rather than helping with the metabolism to help with the balance. So I think it's important to do both, right? To yeah, to really help support, but also to, help with that metabolism so that you can naturally balance the hormones. Yeah, that's great. That's great information. Anything else you wanted to say about the hormone testing?
Just more. I know sometimes people will have blood testing done, and for me, it's never been very useful because how many times do you have the blood test, and people are told, "Oh, you're in range, you're normal," but they don't feel normal at all, and they're very symptomatic, and that's where I think that it's just missing some of those key pieces there with the metabolites.
Yeah, that's what you miss by doing the blood work. Yeah. Okay, and then you also talked about we talked you talked about doing the stool test for looking for parasites and bacterial imbalances and candida, and that's having to do with the gut. And anything you wanted to add about that people, what people should be looking for, talking to their doctor about with those tests.
I would say if you're going to be doing those tests, again, working with a doctor that has experience using those tests, because there are a variety of different labs out there. Sometimes people will just use their local lab just to test for parasites. They can be really difficult to detect. And so trying to utilize a lab that maybe does DNA testing, or they're a little bit more sensitive to be able to pick some of these things up. And also making sure you're looking at a variety of things on there. So you're checking to see if you maybe are reacting to gluten, because some of these more advanced stool testing will have anti-gliadin antibodies on there. And I can't tell you how many patients I've had that they're avoiding gluten and those antibodies are high, and it's because they're getting cross-contamination from somewhere. So we have to really sit down and start looking at where could that be coming from. Is it a sauce? Is it your toothpaste? I mean, someone had kitty litter that was made out of wheat. And so, I mean,
Skincare
I've,
products.
yeah, skincare products, absolutely, even though they're natural, having wheat in them and stuff. So,
Okay, what are there any particular labs that you like for those tests?
for the urine and the
For
stool
stool
testing.
tests,
So for the urine testing, as I mentioned, I usually use the Dutch test, which is from Precision Analytical. And then for the stool testing, I've been using Diagnostic Solutions. I feel like they give people a little bit more bang for their buck and can see more information there. And for the organic acid testing, I like Genova's profile on that. And I've looked at a couple other companies, but I think Genova's is kind of a nice general one to start with.
So the organic acid test, can you explain a little bit about how that works and what we're looking at there?
Yeah, so organic acids, the way that I like to think about them as, because I sort of think in this, I guess, a little bit linear way, where I'm thinking of like maybe a biochemistry chart, and I'm trying to think, if you're trying to get from point A to point B, you might need something like B vitamins or CoQ10 as that cofactor to be able to get from point A to point B. And if you don't have enough B vitamins, for example, that pathway doesn't happen. So think like you have a river and the river just stops, and then you get these metabolites that spill out in the urine. And the higher those metabolites are, the more blocked that river is. So that's where we're able to tell where some of those imbalances are coming from. And if you go in and correct some of those imbalances, basically you get that system working again. So that has been extremely useful, because how many times do people come in and they have a whole entire bag of supplements, and then they have all these different pills they're taking, and then they're and I say, "Why are you taking it?" "Well, I don't know, I read about it." And I'm like, "Okay, well, let's look, and from the testing you can see, do you truly need B vitamins? Maybe you don't. Some people do and some people don't, or people go on these cleanses to detox their liver. You don't always need it though. Some people are detoxifying just fine, and doing things to help with that aren't necessarily going to be like that game changer for them, because that's not where the problem is coming from.
Okay. All right. Great. That's helpful. And so once people have those tests done, oh, you do, that was what I was going to ask about was the genetic testing, because you mentioned that, but
Oh,
how often do you do the genetic testing? Is that something you usually wait on? You do that pretty soon off, and which testing do you do?
So for the genetic test, most people go to 23andMe to get their raw data because that is the most affordable thing for people to do. And with the genetic testing, what I'm looking at there is I look at a couple different genes that maybe affect like hormones or detox pathways. But this is an area that I feel like this is changing so fast and so rapidly. And unless I sat and studied it every single day and didn't do anything else, I feel like I'm still always trying to master it. But I think if you look around, there's so many interesting programs popping up where you can take somebody's symptoms, you take their genetics, you take some of these functional medicine tests, and you plug it in, and it can tell you what genes are turned on and off. Because that's the other thing is that when you see some of these results, you can look at it and get a little bit like, oh my gosh, am I going to die? And people have to remember the genes are not your destiny and it's what your lifestyle. And that's where we go back to the diet and all these other things because you can impact that and turn that gene on and off by what you're doing with your lifestyle. And so that's really what you need to see is if it really is a problem or not for you. And, a good example would be I kind of go back to the hormone piece of that is, I've had a few women where, and you've probably seen some of these women, you try to give them maybe bioidentical hormones because maybe they had a hysterectomy and they really need them because the hot flashes are so bad. And you give them a little bit of it and they feel worse and they're getting worse. And you're like, what is going on? And when you understand some of these genetic things there, you can say, oh, well, you had this hysterectomy, but no one ever fixed your underlying problem, which sets you up to have it to begin with. And that maybe was all stemming from the fact that you don't metabolize estrogen very well. And if we can fix those pathways, then you're going to tolerate some of these other things a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, epigenetics is so interesting and fascinating. It's exciting to see what's happening with that and the information that we can get from our genes and what we can do with our lifestyle and supplements and diet, different things to change our genetic expression and prevent diseases, treat diseases. And it's very exciting to see that. So that's great that you're incorporating that too. So going back to my question I was going to ask was once people do these tests and they come back, what do you do next?
So I kind of look at it as sort of like this puzzle, right? So now we're putting all these different pieces together, and then now we have to prioritize what we're going to address first. So this would depend on what their symptoms are. So if you see, like, for example, a patient that has eczema or they have a lot of acne happening, you may not actually want to go in and start giving them a whole bunch of liver detox stuff right off the bat because you might make them worse if they have a gut issue. And you really need to fix that gut because otherwise you're stirring up this pot. And then if you have a lot of leaky guts or increased gut permeability, now we've mobilized more things in there that could definitely trigger things. So I feel like depending on the person and their sensitivity, you kind of have to start slow. And I feel like the foundation for everything is really making sure you have a strong gut in place. And if you don't have a strong gut, then that's really your first place to start to be able to fix that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. I totally agree with that the gut is, there's so much associated with that. And that's where a lot of this, what I call skin inflammation, comes from. That internal inflammation that shows up on the skin is it comes from those gut issues. And those are so key. And that I find that a lot of times that's what's missing when people have really inflamed skin, whether it's eczema or acne, or like you mentioned, getting to that is really important. And so that's great. And then what about the hormones? What do you do to address those, the possible hormone metabolism issues and those sorts of things?
That's where I do use supplements for that. I use a lot of herbal therapies and even Chinese herbal therapies, sometimes acupuncture as well. Basically, trying to, if the skin is really inflamed, my goal is trying to get that calmed down and then to get the hormones balanced. So that I approach with a lot of the nutritional supplemental things that we have available.
Great, great, fantastic. And then I guess, you're seeing great results with patients that and they come back. How quickly do you tend to see changes in people's skin?
So the skin, that's one of the things I tell people, it can take a little bit of time, but what I don't think has to happen is that, sometimes I feel like what we got taught in school is that, when you're on the right track, you're going to have this big healing crisis, right? A healing crisis does not need to last for 6 months. A healing crisis can be quick and you move through it. And again, we're stirring up this pot and then making the person so much worse that now we have to spend all this time trying to rebuild them. So when I start a treatment protocol, there should be some shift happen in the first 30 days. They may not be perfect. They may still have some issues going on, but they should see something improve and something see better, or you should see something be better. So you should see these small steps, that you're going up kind of a little stairway here and you're seeing it slowly improve to know that you're on the right track. But I think your skin is kind of, at least for me, my skin is like my most immediate feedback as to if I'm eating something that's not good for me, because I will react within 24 hours and my eczema starts to come back. And, for me, it's right on my face for everybody to see. And so everyone can look at me and go, oh, so what have you been eating that's not, good for you? And that's where if you give supplements and things flare up, the person should not continue to be that flared and worse over a 30 and 60 day period. You should start to see it calm down. And if you don't, stepping back, reevaluate, what am I missing? What's the picture here? Because there's some trigger that you're not identifying.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. We want to be moving in the right direction. And sometimes what I'll see with patients is we'll see an improvement and then it stops. Whatever we're doing, it's like we get hit kind of a plateau. Like, okay, we got another layer of something we need to work here. So maybe we've worked on some of the gut stuff and now we need to really focus on balancing the hormones more. And then, it can be a cycle that can take some time. But I do like to see people to have relief. I mean, I like to see people in 2 weeks to see some sort of shift, especially if we're making major dietary changes. If they're big changes that they've made in 2 weeks, I feel like people should notice something improvement. The first week, though, you may not. You actually might feel worse sometimes, especially if you're having to give up foods that you've become very dependent upon or. And you're not used to having those, sometimes you could feel worse, but within 2 weeks and certainly 30 days, that's when the skin cells start to turn over and we can really see what the skin's going to be doing.
And I think people keeping in mind, your skin is your largest organ of detoxification. So if you're seeing things getting more flared, then looking at those other organs, like are you having bowel movements every day? Because if you're not, then that might be why you're seeing some of those things flare up more, in the beginning time. And you want to make sure you have all those organs of elimination optimized.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Pamela, this has been fantastic. Really great information. I know we're on the same page with all this stuff, so it's fantastic to talk to you. And just tell people about how they can find you, about your website. Tell us and your clinics.
You can find me at www.lakesideholistic.com. That's our business page. And then you can find me on Facebook at Dr. Pamela Langendorfer. And my public figure page on Facebook is just devoted to all things hormones. So if you want to know more about hormone issues and how they impact other things, you're going to find that on my page there. And we have offices in both Liberty Lake, Washington, and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And so we have people from a variety of different areas.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you again for all your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
And
thank you.
yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Pamela Langenderfer. To find out more about Dr. Pamela, you can go to my website, thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find the information about her and her clinics there. And also, while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you can stay in touch with us. And as I mentioned earlier, don't forget to take the skin quiz because it's going to give you great information about your root causes and how to address those. Just go to theskinquiz.com. It's free. It only takes a few moments to answer the 10 questions and get your own customized information. Theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.